Welcome to the Tanakh Podcast. Today, Sefer Nachum, Chapter 2, Perek Bet. Our learning is Lizchut Chayalei Tzva Hagana Israel, dedicated to the brave and wonderful soldiers of the IDF for their safety and for their success, for the swift return of all of the hostages, and for the swift healing of all of those injured in Gaza. Today we look at Nachum, Perek Bet. To remind you, Nachum is a book which predicts and prophesizes about the fall of Ashur, the fall of Assyria. And when we look at our chapter, we are seeing a chapter in two segments. The first segment, verse 1 to 3, deals with the restoration of Yehuda. And the second, verse 4 to 14, is going to be almost an imagining of the destruction, the attack on Nineveh, the capital of Assyria. So let's begin to read a little bit. And you might be familiar with the next pasuk, Hine al Harim raglei mevaser mashmia shalom, behold on the hills. There is a herald announcing good fortune, raglei mevaser, mashmia shalom, right? He's talking peace. Chagi Yehuda, chagayich. O Judah, celebrate your festivals. Shalmi nedarayich. Fulfill your vows. You know, nedarai la'ashem ha'shalem, negdana lo'chol amo b'chatzrot beit Hashem. In other words, go and celebrate your festivals. Bring your sacrifices. Ki lo yosif od la'avor bach b'li'al. Kula nichrat, because no more shall enemies enter your land. Kula nichrat, they have totally vanished. Allah mefitz al panaych, the shatterer or the scatterer has departed from your face. In other words, the Assyrians are gone. Nitzar mutzura, put up the garposts. Sveid derech chazik matnayim. Now is the time to watch the road. Steady your loins. Ametz koach ma'on. Kishav Hashem et Go'on Yaakov. It's not because the enemy are on their way, but rather because God has restored the pride of Yaakov, Ki Go'on Yisrael, and the pride of Israel, Ki Bakakum Bokakim. Pay attention to that lovely alliteration, Ki Bakakum Bokakim. Though the marauders, though the plunderers have plundered, Uzmorahem Shichetu, and they've ravaged their branches. In other words, they've destroyed the agriculture. We know from archaeology that the Assyrians, not only did the Assyrians exile the 10 northern tribes, but they also laid waste 46 walled cities. And when you open the opening chapter of Yeshayahu, Artzechem Shmama Arechem Surfot Esh, your land is desolate, your cities are burnt. And here we see that same idea that though Bakakum Bokakim, though you've been plundered, Uzmoratehem Shichetu, and they have destroyed your vines, Shav Hashem Go'on Yaakov. So that's the good news. Now for the bad news. Now we're going to see a fascinating and colorful attack on the town of Nineveh. I'm not sure how to read this, but because the Hebrew is complicated, but I'll start in Hebrew and I'll turn to English. Magen giborehem me'adam anshei chal mutula'im. His warriors' shields are painted red. Ma'adam. Anshei chal mutula'im. Right? The soldiers are clothed in red. Be'esh pladot ha'rechev. The chariots are like flaming torches. B'yom ha'chino. On the day of their preparation. V'habroshim hor'alu. Amazing image. And the arrows, which are made out of cypress wood, have been poisoned. In other words, the enemy is lining up with its chariots. It's lining up against Nineveh. They're describing the attack on Nineveh, where even the arrows are poisoned arrows, so that anybody who gets attacked by an arrow will die. B'chutzot yitolalu arechev. The chariots dash around the fields, or maybe around l'chutzot, like the squares of the city. Yishtokakun b'rachovot marihem kalapidim. They're like torches. I guess they're shining in the sun. K'brakim yirotzesu, like streaks of lightning. But when it's described like this, you gain the sense that the enemy is fierce. Yizkor adi rav, Okay, he commands his adir, his strong heroes, his men. Yikashlu bali chotam yimaru chomata. They run to the wall, the huchan hasochech, where the shelters are set up, the shelters so that nothing can be thrown down from the wall. This is the attack on Nineveh, and Sharei Hanorot Niftachu. They penetrate the walls, they open the floodgates, Vaichal Namog, and the palace is deluged. We know that Nineveh was on a river. Could it be flooded? That I don't know. But they even talk about, and this is a very difficult pasuk chet, Hutzav Gultaho Alata. And Hutzav, who is Hutzav? Some people think Hutzav is the queen. Sometimes people think it is the deity, some sort of image, some sort of idol, but it's carried away. The handmaids escort her as voices of doves beating their breasts. And Nineveh, which used to be like a placid pool of water from earliest town, now Hema Nassim, now they are fleeing. Imdu Amodu Vein Mafner. Stop, stop, and none can turn back. Bozu Kesef, Bozu Zahav. Plunder the silver, plunder the gold. Vein Katzei L'Tchuna. There is no limit to her treasures. Kavod Mikol Klei Chemda. It is a hoard of precious objects. Buka Umuvuka Umuvulaka. Right. If before we said that Jerusalem had been plundered, and the phrase used there was bakakum bokakim, which sounds like a onomatopoeic, you know, like something glugging down. Right. So maybe it's this sense of draining all of the wealth. Here we have buka umavuka umavulaka, desolation, devastation, and destruction. Velev names or pikbir kayim, spirit sink, kneels, buckle, kneel, the chalchala b'chol matnayim. All everybody loins tremble, fnei kulam kitzu faror, and all the faces turn ashen. In other words, here what we're seeing is the absolute destruction of the city of Nineveh. And it ends with a fascinating image of lions. Now, let me just say that apparently in the world of the Assyrians, the lion hunt was an important symbol of royalty. And the Assyrian royal seal showed a king slaying a rampant lion. And the royal palaces in Nineveh were decorated with scenes in which the king, the Assyrian king, would stage lion hunts either in the wild or actually staged hunts. And this was a sign of the king's prowess, the king's taming of nature. And this is where I come to Pasuk Yud Bet. Ayem on Arayot, what has become of that lion's den, Umi Rehu Lekfirim, and that pasture of great beasts, Ashehalach Arye Lavi Sham, where the lion's breed walked, Gor Arye Ve'en Macharid, and the lion's cub with none to disturb him, Arye Soref Bede Gorotav, where is the lion that tore its victims for its cubs, Umechanek Leviotav, and strangled the lionesses, Ve'emale Terev Chorav, Umonotav trefa, hine alayich nu mashem tvakot. I am going to deal with you, says God. Vivarti be'ashan richba, etc., etc. What's fascinating here is that here they are comparing the Assyrian royalty to lions, and God is saying, I am upon you. You used to think that you were the lions, but now you've become the prey. And this is the depiction of the destruction of Nineveh. Now, how do we put these two parts of our chapter together? On the one hand, we have the introduction to the perek. Hine el harim raglei mevaser mashmia shalom. And on the other hand, we have this incredible war scene with Nineveh being submerged, Nineveh being destroyed. And let's remember that Nineveh and the Assyrians are the great warriors of the Middle East, who cast their fear and their power and their brutality over the Middle East for at least 150 years. And it's here that Rav Uri Shirky says that that's exactly what our chapter is about. Rabbi Sachs writes in his book, A Letter in the Scroll, he says, Judaism is an ongoing moral revolution that began by challenging the great empires of the ancient world. He said, the ziggurats and temples of the ancient world were built on a social order that worshipped the few and enslaved the many. They were neither free nor equal. For Judaism, then and now, the criterion of the good society is not wealth or power or prowess, but the simple question, does it respect the individual as image of God? And now we contrast the warmongering Assyrians with the image of our victory. And what's our victory? Raglei mevaser mashmia shalom. All we're looking for is peace. Chagi Yehuda chagayich shilmi nedarayich. We're not looking to destroy any of our enemies. All we're looking to do is to be able to practice our religion and worship our God and to be able to live with shalom. And that is indeed the message that Judaism brings to the world, as opposed to the violence which is wrought by Assyria. So maybe that sort of frames our chapter and explains how to read chapter 2. See you tomorrow.